been a long day, hasn't it? But we're reaching the home stretch here, and we're going to get time for questions in. We have a good amount of time here, so let's get started. The next thing that I'd like to talk about is our fundamental ask. And each of you has two of these sheets in here. It's a sheet that looks like this. And I'm just going to advise you in advance, please don't write on this document tonight. People have written on these documents and then regretted it later. You want to make sure that you have clean copies ready to go into your meetings with your members of Congress. And our congressional request this year is to introduce for Republicans or support for Democrats a bill for a steadily rising fee on fossil carbon-based fuels that returns all revenue to households. No surprises there. Below that, we have two paragraphs which may be useful to you as you're trying to craft your meeting. This first paragraph sets a positive vision for the future by looking first at what we've been in the past. We talk about how excited we are about the Climate Solutions Caucus and the potential that that has to take us back to a United States where the parties agreed that we all want clean air and clean water. We mention that the Clean Air Act was passed with only one dissenting vote in Congress, and that it was signed into law by a Republican president. We also mention that the Montreal Protocol on ozone-depleting substances, many of which are also greenhouse gases, was negotiated by Ronald Reagan and ratified by the Senate unanimously. We can get back to that. The second paragraph mentions our household impact study. It gives you an opportunity to talk about that. And then below that, we have four bullet points going for the keys about our policy. What are the real keys as this goes through the sausage-making process of Congress? What is really key that it retains? Below that, you have a nice line, which is my graphic design edition. And not only is it a line separating that from my contact information, it's a line where you can handwrite in any supporting ask you may have. So it's stylish and functional. Yes, leave it to a scientist, exactly. And so since I mentioned supporting asks, why don't you all have a look at this green document, which is in your folder. Many of you have had a look at this already. It was a key element that we had as you prepared for this, we're filling out your meeting plans. First of all, what is a supporting ask? Well, that's our main ask. A supporting ask builds to that. It should always be clear that what you want. But a lot of you are going in, not for the first time, not for the second time, but for the fourth, fifth, tenth, who knows how many times. And it might be that they have a pretty good idea of what you want. And many of you have a very good idea of where your member of Congress stands. Well, a supporting ask supports our main ask. It's an opportunity to get your member of Congress onto the ladder of political will. You want to give them something that they can say yes to. And so this document has a lot of ideas for things that maybe they'll say yes to. And I also want to emphasize, you know your member of Congress better than we do. And we trust you to come up with a good supporting ask, even if it's not on this list. We think these are good supporting asks, they're good ideas, but if you want to make a supporting ask that is different than this, you should feel free to do that, provided that you are a constituent and that you're consulting with your fellow constituents. We trust you. So I do want to go over a couple of these. This document is divided into supporting asks for Republican offices and to Democratic offices. And if you go to the first supporting ask for Republican office, it reads, ask your representative to sign on to the House Republican Climate Resolution, HRES 195, led by Representatives Stefanik, Curbelo, and Costello. That's the supporting ask. Below the supporting ask, we have some explanatory asks. Why? Some explanatory text. Why is this important? Why did we include this? And the reason we include this is that the more that elected Republicans talk about doing something on climate, the more that rank-and-file Republicans believe it's something we need to address. I'm referring to that Brule study I mentioned earlier today. Further, once members begin discussing this with each other, they will realize that addressing climate can be good for jobs, the economy, our health, and national security. They will also know they are not alone. And then we provide contact info. Interested offices can contact Patrick Hester, there's Patrick's email, in Elise Stefanik's office about joining. And then sometimes we'll also have a link where you can find something that's useful, in this case, the link to the resolution text. There's a link, it may look a little weird, but it just takes you to congress.gov. What I did is I took that long address, I put it into a website called Bitly, which shortens it. So if you wanted to look it up on your phone or your computer, you don't have to type as many things in, and hopefully that makes it easier. So if it looks a little weird, that's why. I was trying to make your life easier. So let's look at another one. If you go to the Democratic Asks, this is going to be the last page of this document. Look at number 7. This is also a supporting ask for Republicans, but what it says is, would you take time to review a recent report from the Office of Tax Analysis created by the climate leadership, cited by the Climate Leadership Council, and showing that as many as 70% of Americans could end up ahead with a carbon fee and dividend policy? And then our explanatory text is, this is a useful study that answers many long-standing questions about how revenue-neutral carbon tax would be implemented, and it provides encouraging insights into how such a proposal would be likely to be scored. And then we have some links. And I know that many of you, in doing the heroic efforts that you did to get us to as many meetings as we have, I know you were getting coached by Amy. And I know that the great advice that Amy gave you was make the offer to discuss this Office of Tax Analysis report. The Office of Tax Analysis, it's within the Treasury, and this is an exciting piece of research that gives a really good insight into these long-standing questions. So if that is something that you promised in your meeting, then we have provided that summary in your folder. It's going to be on the right-hand side. It's on a white sheet, and as Ashley mentioned, white sheets are fine to leave behind. So that's one thing that's in there. The other thing that is mentioned in this ask is the Climate Leadership Council proposal. And also in here, also on white paper, you have my summary, my FAQ, of the Climate Leadership Council proposal. And again, the biggest differences between our proposal and that proposal are the starting price, theirs is $40, ours is $15. The rate of increase, theirs is 2% above inflation, ours is $10 per ton per year. And of course, they would remove regulations related to CO2 at the time of passage, whereas we would do nothing. We would say, let those regulations stay, they will become irrelevant. Those are the differences between those. The last ask, supporting ask, that I want to highlight for you is just one below that one on the last page. It's number 8 in the Democratic section. This is also in the Republican section. And it is to ask your representative to co-sponsor a bill identified by the Climate Solutions Caucus chairman, Representatives Curbelo and Deutsch, as climate relevant and capable of getting bipartisan support. This supporting ask was added in response to a direct request from the Curbelo office. And what they wanted us to do is they wanted us to try and get some co-sponsors for bills the caucus chairman have identified as climate relevant and capable of getting bipartisan support. And of course, we want to support the caucus in any way we can. If this is going to help them become more significant, more powerful, power broker in Congress, we're very interested in that. We also tried to balance that with CCL's laser-like focus. And so what the compromise that we reached is that we're happy to provide these lists of bills to you, and the link to where those bills are in community is also on that page. But you should know that if you do make this ask, the only test that has been applied to those bills that are listed is that they're relevant to the climate, and the caucus chairman think they're capable of getting bipartisan support. We are not going to be able to provide the kind of analysis and materials that you've come accustomed to from CCL on carbon fee and dividend for these, because we don't think that that would be consistent with our 100% laser-like focus, and we do expect this list to grow. So if you do go on, just be aware you're going to have to do a little bit of research yourself. And if you haven't already looked at this and there are no constituents going into your meeting, please do not make this a supporting ask. The decision to make this ask should be made by constituents. And then the other thing that comes up and again, well, why is CCL focusing so much on the House? And what about the Senate? And would you like a caucus or a working group or something like that in the Senate? Of course we want something in the Senate. It's just that so far we've had a lot of more success in the House. So if you want to ask your senator to start a caucus or to submit a resolution, we would absolutely love that. So please do that.
Anyway, our action logic. What this is...
is this is a companion to the supporting ask document. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to give you what you need to know in order to capitalize on an opportunity or to avoid an awkward situation. And so if you're in a meeting and you get an offer of a high value, something that you want to say yes to or you want to capitalize on that, here's some things for you to know exactly how to respond. So for example, on the first day, you know, dancing in a suit, three-piece suit. So the first one, it's on the bottom of the first page, if there's a request to see our language, so that's the situation, then what do you do? And I've broken it down for both Democrats and for Republicans. For Democrats, we are being diligent in making sure our language is not released prematurely. As such, the two-page version of our bill is public, but the version written in full lingual language is not public. McDermott, H.R. 972 in the 114th Congress, and McNerney, H.R. 4283 in the 114th Congress, bills are closest to a proposal. There are still important differences made clear in our 2016 bill submitted resource, which we'd be happy to share with you. And so the reason why we're doing that for Democrats is we want to leave space around our proposal for Republicans to step into. And if a Democrat introduces our proposal specifically, it becomes harder for a Republican to walk into that space because a Democrat has owned it before. For Republicans, would you be willing to run our legislative text through legislative council? As you remember, as I told you earlier, legislative council, that's very high value. And so if so, I'll put you in touch with our legislative director and my team will make sure that we follow up on that and involve you. Otherwise, here are some other resources that you can look at. Another one, if you go just past that on the second page, if they ask which Republicans are interested in our proposal, then explain that this is still a difficult time for Republicans to lead with our proposal. The fear of being primaried from the right is still very real, and as such, we're being very judicious with the names of Republicans who express interest in our proposal, and that list is not shared outside a few key CCL staffers. So that's what you say. So hopefully this is useful to you. I would recommend reading through all of this because hopefully it can get you out of some sticky situations or enable you to seize the moment when it comes. But I want to talk about topics that you should expect to come up and how to handle them. I want to talk a little bit about interpreting staffer speak, and then I'll invite Jay Butera to come up and say a few words. And then again, there will be more questions. So some things to expect. There's some topics that are very likely to come up, and I want you to be prepared for that and to know how to respond, how to handle that. The number one issue you should expect to come up is tax reform. This is the overriding priority of Republican leadership in both the House and the Senate. And I would say that the most likely situation in which this is going to come up is they're going to suggest, members of Congress will suggest, well, have you considered looping your proposal in with this broader effort to do tax reform? And there was a laser talk in the conference-related laser talks about this. And our response is, we would be thrilled if a carbon tax were a part of tax reform, but we're going to keep on doing what we're doing because the purpose of tax reform is to reform the tax code. It is unlikely that a carbon tax is a match for the scale of the problem in that context. And if you're reforming something, you're making it simpler, better. If we take 100% of the revenue from carbon fee and dividend and we return it, there has been no reform. So our specific proposal cannot be a part of tax reform. So we're going to keep on doing what we're doing. And if a carbon tax does come up in the context of tax reform, we'll be very excited about it. And the keys for any bill that advances are like they are now. We want to make sure that it takes a really serious chunk out of emissions. And we want to make sure that the poor and middle class are okay with that. And of course, it would have to be Republican-led, given the current makeup of Congress. Second thing, and related to this, is our border adjustment. A border tax adjustment was a key component of the tax reform effort, and it has turned out to be very unpopular. And so when I've gone into some meetings, I've gotten the suggestion that we should change the name of our border carbon adjustment to something else. And don't let this throw you. We don't care what the name is. We care what it does. So if you want to say, if they bring up this point, you can say, we don't care what it's called. You can call it an embedded carbon equalizer. You can call it a fair competition adjustment. You can call it Mary Poppins. It doesn't matter. The point is that our border carbon adjustment is not to raise revenue. The point is to ensure good behavior. It's to make sure that companies don't have any incentive to relocate to a more polluting regime. And that is different from the border tax adjustment, the point of which is to raise revenue. The next thing that I think is very important to come up is the Climate Leadership Council proposal. And again, the main ways that it is different from our proposal, different starting price, different rate of increase, they would get rid of regulations, we would not. Healthcare is, of course, another dominant topic, but I don't really see any reason why you should talk much about that. So if the conversation does turn to healthcare, I'd ask that you judiciously turn it back to our issue. Similar with infrastructure. That was an early priority of the president and Democrats. It hasn't been raised since, probably because Republicans in Congress were not happy about it, whereas Democrats were. The optics aren't good on that for a Republican president, and it hasn't really been mentioned since. So it's unlikely it can play no role in a truly revenue-neutral carbon fee. And so again, if that comes up, steer it back on topic. Another tricky thing is regulatory rollback, and I think that this is going to be particularly a problem with Democrats. As I mentioned earlier, I am concerned that if you do have a Republican proposal, it will be like the CLC proposal and have regulatory rollback as part of it. And I do see a lot of resistance to that from Democrats. I think that Democrats put so much energy into defending and advancing President Obama's Clean Power Plan that there is now an emotional attachment to it. And of course, we're really glad that they were advocating for the climate like that. But if I see the potential for this to, if that remains, then that could prevent a carbon price that would get greater reductions from going forward. And what I would, if this does come up in the context of a Democratic office, what I recommend you do is I recommend you point out that we now have 26 Republicans between House Resolution 195 and the caucus who have declared climate change is real, humans have had an impact, Congress should do something about it. And that just didn't exist. And as I pointed out earlier, that is potentially a blocking minority within the majority. And so if there were something truly egregious to come up, say, repealing the Clean Air Act, in theory, those 26 Republicans could stop that. And so when they say, why isn't CCL working on doing this, you can say, CCL has done more than any other organization. Tell me any other organization that has shown 26 Republicans who are willing to raise their voice and say, I'm here for the climate, and that there just isn't, there is no other group that has done more than CCL. So I think that that's your response in that situation. Those are the headline issues. I also want to cover staffer speak. Sometimes staffers can have their own language, and so you might get a staffer who says, who supports this? And what they're really asking is this worth my time? Because they have limited time, they're overworked, and if you can show them that sheet, which as Carl very usefully pointed out, those are people who support a revenue-neutral carbon tax, not necessarily a carbon fee and dividend. That's one way you could show who supports this. Or you could certainly point to CCL's growth, similar, slightly different, the Climate Leadership Council authors. There are many places where you could go to suggest who supports this. Another thing that you might get is defeatist talk about there not being enough time, or the priorities are being elsewhere in Congress, or Republicans never doing this, or Trump vetoing it. What staffers are saying here is, they are so overwhelmed, they just don't want to deal with something else, dedicate any energy to this. And the way you get around this is you don't deny it. You say, that may be true, but the time is going to come when you're going to have to know about this and you're going to have to vote on this. And that's why we're here. We're preparing you now. We're laying the groundwork now. And so we would ask you, when this does come up, to take the time, educate yourself, consider it, because we're doing the work to make sure it happens. Another thing you might hear from a staffer is, do you have language? And what they're doing here is they're trying to say that I get told all the time what people say is a bill, but when I go and actually look at the bill, what they said isn't in there. So they want to go straight to the source. And so when they do that, feel free to look at the piece of the action logic that I went over already about what our two-page bill is, or other bills which are similar to our bill. That will enable them to look at actual text, and then they'll be able to check that box. Wow, these guys were right on point with what they were saying. It really is in the text. Last thing that they may say before I have Jay come on is, have you spoken with Ways and Means? Or have you spoken with the Finance Committee? And what they're trying to say here is, again, why are you here? Why are you bothering me? And what they don't understand, what they're missing, is just how big CCL is. Most groups who do fly-ins like this, who do lobby days, don't have people from 49 states. And they don't have 950 people ready to go on Capitol Hill who have done the kind of preparation that you do. And if you do have a group like this, why the heck wouldn't you go into every single office? And why wouldn't you ask them to be prepared, because they're going to have to vote on this. So learn about it now, be prepared, lay the groundwork. So in this case, when they say, have you spoken to these committees, what they're really saying is, I've never seen a group as awesome as CCL. And what I'm noticing is what we found in 2016, and I will do that again for these meetings and hopefully quicker because I have some help. But what I noticed is that if you 2014, we had three tier one Republicans for every one tier three Republican. A tier three, one Republican, you're able to have a good conversation with, they're asking good questions. Tier three Republican, they make it pretty clear they don't want you there. And that ratio improved to 6-1 in 2015 and 10-1 in 2016. And to me, that is the largest endorsement of our methodology that I know. So what you're doing is working. And I am out of time for questions, but I want to reemphasize, I will be available for questions on the Senate side. I'll be between Hart and Dirksen in the morning, and on the House side in the Rayburn cafeteria. I'll be there all day, and I'm going to be trying to be visible throughout the day tomorrow. If you have any questions, please do come by and say hello.
Mark. And we're all awfully lucky to have Danny Richter. Huh? Let's give him a hand.